B-Pod Studios.
Have a Google smart speaker in your home or office? Just say, hey, Google, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's amazing.
And listen to Boston's Home for Sports. Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Marchand's shot saved by Appleby. He covers up and Johansson reaches to his face as Marchand went tumbling through. You always have to be concerned that a player might catch the blade of somebody skating a collision like that.
Marchand goes for the puck and then that flying vicious right elbow as he's fighting his way trying to get to that second chance. Jersey looking for a penalty on the play.
Well, that is the guy that your Boston Bruins have right now. The dude that Brad Marchand elbowed in the head, ending his 2017-2018 regular season. Marcus Johansson, winger for the Devils. The trade was made yesterday in exchange for a 2019 second-round draft pick and a 2020 fourth-rounder. And we had Ty Anderson on yesterday, and he is joining us once again on the Volkswagen Expert Hotline. And yesterday, Ty, you were kind of hot on them making a huge deal. Obviously, like Matt Mark Stone was the guy that you wanted, but I mean, obviously, you couldn't have matched what the Golden.
Well, they could have. The question is, did you have? And Haggerty brought this up. They could have matched it. The question is, did Don Sweeney have the appetite to? And the answer was no.
Okay, so first of all, just to start off, basically, what did you think of the trade yesterday?
The Johansson trade or the Stone trade? Because I thought the Johansson trade, I mean, it is what it is. I don't love the price you've paid. I thought that you look at the second tier rentals, you see what was paid. I think it's a lot of second and third rounders. I think Johansson giving up a solidified second rounder and a fourth rounder, it's the going rate. I don't love it, but at the end of the day, I guess you have to give something up to add something. But I look around and I see Zuccarello for a second and a third, although he's now injured. I look at Nyquist for a second and a third. That would have been nice. You know, so you get Johansson. He's kind of the weakest of that group, in my opinion. So a second and a fourth. It's the market rate. I don't love it, but I guess you have to do something at the end of the day, right?
Sure. And the thing is about Johansson, so he right now is in the middle of a season where he's got 27 points. He's had 12 goals, 15 assists. However, he's a minus 15 rating during that frame of 48 games that he played. How do you see him being used? Tell us a little bit about where you think he's going to be, because he could be a center or a winger, right? I mean, he's kind of like what's his name that we just got?
Coyle.
He's kind of like Coyle. But how do you believe the Bruins are going to use him?
So it's actually ironic that it's plus minus. I mean, the plus minus is bad because the Devils have just been a train wreck this year. He's actually a pretty good defensive forward. You'll notice this tonight if he does play that he's pretty solid defensively. 200-foot game. Like you mentioned, he can play all three forward positions. So you can put him in the left, center, right. Really doesn't matter. He's a left shot, which I know they have a ton of already, but you have options there. I think to get the most out of him, you should put him on the Krejci line. Maybe try him on the right side there. Put him with DeBrusk. Have DeBrusk stay on the left side because he's just so much better when he's on his natural side versus the off wing. So that's where I put him. But he's a guy who can chip in, you know, on the power play at even strength. You know, he'll help them a lot. He's coming to Boston with a little bit of a hot streak now. He closed his Devils career with 12 points in 13 games, and he was playing over that span in an elevated role. So it's you look at that and you say, okay, well, if we put him with good players, he's going to succeed. He's not going to fall in the face, you know, like Brett Connolly did or some of these other guys who've tried in these top six roles over the years and at the deadline and said, okay, go get him. So he can do it. It's just a matter of where do they view him being the best fit. Personally, I think it's the Krejci line because you got two great passers and a kid who can shoot in Jake DeBrusk.
All right. So with Mark Stone obviously being off the board, Wayne Simmonds as well, do you think that the Bruins did everything that they could do in order to improve this team, or do you think that this is once again a chance that was lost at the deadline?
Well, it's bizarre, right? And I look at this sort of how it's at the summer. The order of operations, if you will, was a little confusing. They went from, you know, being in on Mark Stone and Ryan DeZingle and even Nyquist. I mean, Nyquist wouldn't leave his no trade to come here. But you look at that, and then they land on Marcus Johansson, and that's like, that's kind of weird to me. I look at that and I say, why? You know what? Like, how did it go from, you know, the top of the market to the mid tier so quickly? You know, I looking at what Wayne Simmonds went for yesterday, I'm a little surprised they weren't more in on that. And then I'm looking around, I just thought that there was a bigger move out there for them. Tyler Toffoli from LA, I mean, that's an example as well. So, you know, they were in on Eric Staal as well. Staal did not want to leave Minnesota. He ended up signing an extension right after the deadline. So they're in on some names. It's just a matter of, you know, why didn't they pull the trigger? And for me, it's about, you know, we talked about this yesterday. You have to give this team a chance. The core is not getting younger. And at some point, I mean, Sweeney's going to have to – it's the inevitable. He's delaying the inevitable of trading pieces and picks that you like to go all in. And I look at this and I say, okay, so now you're not doing it now. So next year, when everyone's a year older and you have more sort of, I don't know, blind faith, if you will, in aging and these bodies holding up over a full season, I mean, it's a tough game to play. It really is. Like, this franchise, they're not – it's not like there's this generational talent in the prospect pool. This is what they are. With the exception of one or two prospects that are going to come in and play supporting roles, this is their franchise. I don't know how much better everything is going to get, because you have to weigh it out with the rest of the core, the Bergeron, the Krejci, the Chara, the Tuukka. I mean, you have to weigh it all out. I don't know how much better it's really going to get from this point forward.
So more to that point, and we were discussing this earlier, does that not beg Don Sweeney to make a big move this offseason? Because the window is closing, and because you're going to lose some of these prospects when their contracts run out and they want big money.
Yeah, definitely. I think it has to happen, right? But now they're looking at that summer, and you're saying, okay, now they almost have to cut money next year because of bringing in Coyle. And you want to think they want to add a forward. Like, so they're going to have to make a tough decision. They're going to have to see if they can, you know, pawn the Backes contract off on a cap floor team. Torrey Krug is in a weird spot here where it's the final year of his contract next year. And you look at his production, it's worth more than $5.25 million. I know people hate to admit that because he's small and undersized and he's not the best in the defensive zone, but his production is kind of incredible for that price. So he needs a raise. Are you going to pay that raise? You're going to trade him while you still can. So they have some tough decisions here. I don't know how they really add that high-end, big-impact forward. You know, this kind of hit me yesterday when Mark Stone is signed, traded and signed, rather, by the Vegas Golden Knights, and it's $9.5 million. I'd say that's the going rate for a, like, superstar player that becomes available. And I just don't see how the Bruins, as currently constituted, can fit that kind of contract into the mix. I mean, the contracts they have to move are all contracts that no one really wants. Like, I don't see many teams banging down the door for David Backes at $6 million. I really don't. You know, John Moore, he's a guy that has four more years left, but it's only $2.75 million, but it's 4 years. The teams really want that, do the Bruins want to trade that? So there's a lot of sort of balls in the air right now. And for Sweeney, I mean, these next 6 months here, how he maneuvers this is going to define, you know, I think what his GM tenureship is going to be. I mean, I look at this and I say this is not a good start. I'm very curious to see how he gets out of it.
All right, so finally, the Pastrnak news yesterday. It's kind of right on the timeline of what we all expected, correct?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the whole 2 weeks, that was team speak. I mean, I always thought it was 4 to 5 weeks, and sure enough, that's what it's looking like right now.
I mean, but he's skating, right? I mean, that was the thing, is that he's skating, but he's going to have a cast on his thumb, right?
I think that was exactly. You skate him on trade deadline day. I mean, that's kind of odd timing, don't you think?
You know, I don't know. I think first day back on the ice from a long road trip, you know, you get out there, you see your teammates and get a little sweat in, see how you're feeling. I don't read too much into that. I think, honestly, I think that this timeline makes sense. I'm concerned a little bit about, I want to know how he feels, you know, the comfort thing. And I thought that was a telling comment by Sweeney, you know, once the splint is on, now it's about the comfort, you know, how long before he can grip the stick and really feel at home. I mean, you know, it's his left hand. So it's one of those, you look at that and you say, okay, well, that's going to affect his shot. That's going to affect how he's handling the puck and the moves he can make. And you look at him last season, the postseason, and he was a monster against the Maple Leafs. So you really need him to be at that level, because Coyle and Johansson cannot carry your offense. I think you're realizing that right now, and you have to bank on Heinen and DeBrusk and, you know, continuing to do what they've done. I can see DeBrusk doing it. Hyman, a little bit of a different question. So they're going to need Pastrnak fully healthy. It's just a matter of can he get comfortable before the start of the playoffs, because teams are going to be targeting him. If his first game back is game one, that's a little scary for me, because teams are going to know, hey, this guy's not comfortable and his thumb hurts. Let's get after him. You know, and that can spell trouble for the Bruins.
All right. Well, Tyner, it's great stuff. And they can obviously read your breakdown of everything that happened yesterday at 98.5thesportshub.com. Appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks a bunch.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Bob Fesco, what did you think about all that?
Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, right. Ha, ha, ha.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Bob Fesco. Do we know if we're going to have a Jake DeBrusk possibly in 5 minutes? Tuesdays are always a crapshoot. All I know is that let's keep it going. Last time we had him on, there was a bump. So, confirmed. So,
when we get back,
Jake DeBrusk on the Toucher and Rich Show.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on Twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Held in at the far point, Chara snapped it into the far corner. DeBrusk deflects it over to the near side. Krejci centers. DeBrusk shoots. He scores! What a 360 that was! Jake DeBrusk caught it in the slot!
.5 a Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and in just a moment we'll be joined by Jake DeBrusk. The guy will not miss an appearance now because he realizes just how important it is to call into our show. You've seen what happened since the last time he was on. It's about time, by the way. Did you just say it was a 6-game homestand? 6-game homestand after all of those games on West Coast, the 10 o'clock games. And by the way, some of those games in that road trip were some of the most exciting ones of the season. And having to sit up, and I know that, what was the one? Was it the San Jose one where I fell asleep right before overtime?
Yeah, I think 6-5 in overtime.
Okay, so. All right. So I fell asleep right before
overtime. It was a wild game.
It was a wild game, and it was one of the best ones of the season, but I had to wake up. Because I think it was like 11:30, 11:45 at that point, and I'm just like, I can't do it. I'm done. And it wasn't even a choice to do it. I just fell asleep. It was one of those nights where you wake up, and it's 2:30 in the morning, and there's a commercial for the aluminum wallet on TV because you left Nesson on all night. But we'll talk to him in just a moment. Let's go to a real – oh, he's on? Oh, we got him?
There he is.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jake DeBrusk, good morning, sir.
Good morning, boys. How's it going?
All right, so – you obviously realize how you were playing before you called us last, right? Like, what was going on with your game, for about a month before you last came on with us?
I don't know. I mean, I think it was, I'm blaming it on the Patriots run, to be honest with you.
you were just paying attention so much to them that you were off your game.
No, I mean, I didn't talk to you guys for a month, so, obviously my game wasn't where I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
Before then or around that time, and I knew it was going to break. I just needed a good bounce, and I appreciate you guys a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
As good, a guy,
see,
who...
I like the fact that he's thanking us, because we are the reason that the slump was busted.
I mean, you told us you take different routes to the rink to break the luck. I mean, it stands to reason you come on with us and then you go on a scoring binge.
Does it blow your mind that every time you're on the Toucher and Rich show, you end up going on a scoring binge?
It is pretty funny, to be honest with you. Always something good always happens. Always happens. So, I've never really had something like this, so I'm kind of just trying to keep it rolling.
I have to be honest, Jake, there was part of me that was holding my tongue because there is also a second part of the TNR bump.
Oh, that's true.
It can
Don't
also go
him.
In a different direction.
Don't tell them.
And that is that sometimes the people who come on our show often get traded. So that's why I'm glad we're past the what happened yesterday, and now we can actually talk to you and laugh about all of that.
Yeah, trade deadline is always a tough time. Yesterday, I think, was probably one of the most nervous days, I think, for everyone in the league. The trade deadline's pretty much posted everywhere, the frenzy and all that stuff. And as a fan, you watch and, it's exciting. You want to know what your team is going to do. And as a player, it's one of the worst things ever. So it's nice to be done with that. Obviously, we got, Marcus Johansson late yesterday. So we didn't lose anyone yesterday. So that's nice as a player to not really lose anyone on the current roster.
So, Jake, I mean, this time of year, I mean, like 75-80% of all the players have their name thrown out there in some way or the other as far as being mentioned in a trade. And obviously, your name is one of the many that was thrown out. On a day like yesterday, do you turn off your phone? Like, what do you do to keep your mind off of what's a fairly stressful day, as you just mentioned?
Yeah, you try to kind of take distractions out of the equation. Like you said, you know, get off your phone. I was actually playing some Xbox with some of the guys, so I was getting updates on the regular, to be honest with you. Wasn't really dodging it, even though I was trying to dodge it, but I wasn't necessarily too worried. I mean, you can't really control that aspect of it, and pretty much counting down from around 2:30 to 3, I was, because usually deals are done late, so you never really know until, the, I want to say, 3:30 until everything's done. So you're kind of waiting around then, and it's a nervous time, that's for sure, but it's always nice to, you know, have everything kind of quiet down, and now you can just focus and play hockey.
What's your game of choice on the Xbox?
On the Xbox, well, we usually play Fortnite. There's about four of us that play Fortnite, but we actually had a Madden tournament yesterday with a couple other guys, and I destroyed the competition, just so you guys know.
Who did you link up with for the Madden game?
I played Charlie yesterday, and I taught him how to play the game. And
that's not
I played Wag and Sean as well. Oh, yeah, no, I'm hardcore, so. No, this is the first time I played Charlie, so you never seen an offense like mine before. It was fun.
So did you say the first person was Chara? Is it like Zdeno? Like, so Charlie McAvoy. Okay. Because I imagine Chara playing video games and just yelling at the screen directions. Move to the right. Go. Move. Push. Fire button. Shoot guy. Just not having any concept of how to play. I just have a strange feeling. But you're the master. You're the Fortnite king.
And the Madden king as well.
Excellent. All right. Well, if you want me to kick your ass in Mario Kart, then we'll talk.
Ooh.
I'm a Switch guy. I'm addicted to all things Nintendo. So,
all right.
If you ever want to jump on it, I got my gamer tag ready for
all right,
you.
Dude, make sure full disclosure, Jake, his son kills him every time the two of them play.
But
so
I'll kick your ass. My son's a whiz kid.
Jake, obviously you got a new player, Marcus Johansson, yesterday, and you know by now the backstory of how Brad Marchand gave him a concussion and ended his season last year. What is your opinion of now the two of them being teammates, and have you ever been a teammate of a guy who had previously injured you?
No, I've never had a player come that's previously injured me, so I actually don't know what to expect in that front, to be honest with you, but I can't really speak for Marcus, but I believe he's probably pretty pumped, you know, to come to this team and have a chance to win. So I think, you know, there might be a couple of giggles here and there, but obviously it's nothing really to laugh about. But at the same time, I think, like I said earlier, I think the bigger picture, I think he's excited to come here and help our team out to win.
We've seen this before. Hockey players seem to be a different breed. I mean, the handshake line, you know, after a hard-fought, you know, Stanley Cup playoff game is always, you know, one of the things that people look at. Like, how can these guys murder each other on the ice for three periods and then go and shake their hands? How are these players able to rally and play against a guy or on the same team as a guy that they had these battles against where they were, you know, truly injured? What is it about hockey players that makes this seem to be so commonplace without incident?
Yeah, I think it's just respect. I think you got to respect, you know, the player across from you no matter what, and respect the game. I think that's the reason why you see, I guess, less suspensions and less headshots and different things like that. But yeah, it is kind of funny. You go to war, you know, you're usually chirping each other. If it's playoffs especially, it's usually you have about one or two matchups that you see the whole time, and you pretty much hate the guy, but then when it's all done, said and done, you go and shake their hands and, you know, it's just a respect thing, I believe.
All right, so you've got obviously two new pieces that are going to be moving around, and how tough is it to get chemistry with? Because I mean, your line could be affected, and this is somebody that you may have never played with before. How tough is it to get that chemistry? And is there any kind of progression you go through in practice to try to find that chemistry and to see who would work well with who?
Yeah, I think there's different things. I think honestly, time is probably the biggest thing for chemistry. We've had, you know, a couple different looks this year. Whereas, you know, wingers, I play on the right side, the left side, Krejci's line. So I've been kind of shuffled around as well. So I'm kind of used to it in a way. If that makes any sense.
Sure.
But personally, just try to figure out, you know, lots of talk, lots of communication, what they like to do as a player, and what their strengths are, and you just try to help them out and help the line out, because you know, chemistry obviously is something that helps you push you over the top, and there's still a good amount of time until the postseason, so there's lots of time, so I'm sure we'll find someone for sure.
Is there a part of you that gets pissed? Like, if you're having like a good run and you're on a line with a guy who is, you guys got it, but the coach says, I'm moving you to a different line. Yeah. Do you ever get pissed?
I mean, if it's the motion, yes. I mean, obviously you do. I think every player feels like that. But at the same time, you obviously go out there and you just try to do anything you can to help the team no matter what line you're on. And, you know, you're still playing, so that's the biggest thing. And I think I got shuffled around for about 2 games, actually, before. But, I mean, you do take it a little personally. I think everyone does, and that's just because you care and you want to keep your spot.
All right, so it was good news yesterday. David Pastrnak on the ice skating with you guys. Did you get to talk to him? How's he doing?
Yeah, no, it was nice. He passed. Obviously, you know, missed him a lot. He's been gone for a little bit now. And it was nice to see him skate, obviously. You know, I don't think he could shoot yet, but nice to see him back out on the ice. And obviously disappointing, you know, series of events. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we keep it going. I've been really proud of this team, especially a tough road swing. Get the amount of points we did. It's something that we're looking to continue on. I think it's a 6-game homestand. We're looking to continue tonight. And another tough team in San Jose and, you know, and then Tampa Bay. So our schedule doesn't get any easier. So we're going to need to, you know, focus up and have everyone, you know, playing well.
So what happened there with Pastrnak?
I know pretty much just as much as you guys. I know that, you know, it was an off-ice incident and obviously something that, you know, I guess it was a freak accident. So it's nothing that you can really control in a sense. And obviously it's really disappointing, but at the same time, we're excited for when he comes back. He's going to come back with a vengeance. And we're just trying right now to, you know, keep the ship going and have different guys, you know, produce. We've had lots of different, you know, goal scorers lately. And that's always nice to see, especially this time of year. The games don't get any easier by any means. And it's something that we're going to need to, you know, get a good season here.
So if it's a trip and fall off ice, do the guys give him crap for that? I mean, does everyone start busting on him? Because, you know, there's always stories of people, like, fall out of bed the wrong way and they end up, like, you know, hurting their wrist or whatever.
Goaltenders fall off a curb and get injured.
You have a locker room full of ball busters. Are you telling me that nobody has gone after Pastrnak for tripping and falling?
There is a little bit for sure, especially on Twitter. Actually, Pass was saying that you got tagged like all barstool things where people were just falling, like you said, out of bed or something, and people are giving it to him on Twitter, and the guys are a little bit here, but you know, mostly not really too much chirps, to be honest. You know, Pass is a guy that people don't like to chirp, so
really, like, how does he not handle it well?
No, but he usually has pretty good chirps back. I don't mind giving him a little bit, but he usually has some pretty good ones back and pretty, you know, gutless here and there sometimes. He's got some stuff that he keeps hidden, and then he'll bring it out when he needs to.
Do you ever have to have him repeat a chirp because you can't understand it through a thick accent?
I try to decode them for him. I'm actually a pretty good decoder. He thinks the same, even though sometimes it happens that, hey, I'd be the same way. If I was speaking his language, I'd pronounce everything wrong. I actually tried to, and it was embarrassing. So, good for him. I mean, he's gotten a lot better since he first came over.
I can just hear him be like, and so is your mom. Oh, excuse me? And he's like looking at you like he just read you, and so is your mom. What? Who? And so is your mom. Oh, and so is my mom. Okay. Wow, you got me there. All right. Good one, Pause.
Yeah, you guys can see it. You guys can see it.
All right, Jay. Hey, listen, congratulations on this tear you've been on, and keep it up. And hopefully the TNR bump will continue. And
maybe a little credit for the show when you're asked.
He just did it. He just did it.
In front of the media.
Listen, you want to toss out a TNR plug in front of the media?
In front of the media?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Do it in front of, you know, microphone in front of next time Hags is in front of you. You know,
after you score a couple of goals tonight and I ask you, what you know, maybe a little, let me throw a little nice things our way. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I'll worry about scoring the goals and then I'll worry about that after.
Excellent. Then keep your priorities straight. All right, Jake. Good talking to you, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All
right, see you, man. 617-779.
He's going to score twice tonight. You know that. He's going to score goals tonight.
I'm just telling you. I'm glad that we're past the trade deadline and he was not traded because, unfortunately, there is a sticky side.
See, I was reminded that's not our fault. That's Thornton's fault. All the people that lived with Thornton, all the people that he used to give drives to work. You see what I'm saying?
That could
Byron
be the curse
Bitts,
of Thornton.
You know, it was the Thornton curse. It wasn't our curse.
Now,
Thornton was on with us
every week, but it's people who are associated with Thornton lived with him.
We'll have to check that because I don't think Riley Smith was around when Thornton played.
Well,
I don't think they ever crossed.
We weren't really paying attention to Riley Smith.
Yeah, but he was on for a year.
Was he really?
Entire season. Yeah, okay. And he was a pretty good guy. I mean, he wasn't Jake DeBrusque.
No,
but I mean, he was a pretty good interview.
I think it's the Thornton curse. That's what I was reminded.
I would like to say that, but I'm not thinking that's the case. All right, 617-779-0985. Here's the headlines.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And it still grinds their gears. So when something like this happens, they immediately want to go and hear what New York's saying about him so they can get fired up. I hope they're listening to us this morning. There's a good chance they are, because we're going to say the same thing. Ha, 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 ha. And we're going to dance around and celebrate because it's funny.
Wonderful.
For the rest of America, what happened on Friday to your owner is hysterical. And it's really, really good because now you're getting kind of a taste of payback for being jerks to everybody along the way.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Hey, Boston, kiss my ass twice. Pompous mountains and Maine. The Chowderheads are melting down, and they're wondering why, we're not going to another Super Bowl.
That right there is possibly the worst sports talk host in the world.
Ha, ha, ha.
I say words, but I'm actually wildly entertained by him. That is Bob Fesco from Kansas City with his hot take on the RKK case. Let's go to Mike on line 3. What's up, Mike? You are on Toucher and Rich.
Perfect timing, guys. Keep playing all the Bob Fesco you can, because really, who else would Mike Felger have to look up to?
I mean, listen, does he have any? Does Mike Felger have a segment called What Grinds My Gears?
And you know what that does? That grinds their gears.
It grinds my gears, I tell you. All the newsies are saying that New York has the better gin joints. This is 1930s, man. Except that I don't know. All I know is that these damn mountains are just being a bunch of a-holes. They're so pompous the way that they keep looking at me. You jerk mountains. That might be the worst take of all time.
Pompous mountains in Maine.
The pompous mountains in Maine.
Have we made the barbecue for chowder bet yet?
I don't think we have.
Okay, that's obviously... We're saving that barbecue for 8 o'clock tomorrow. We got to have the barbecue for chowder bet, which, of course, everyone knows. Oh, he is the best. Bob Fesco, you are a dream come true.
Ha, ha, ha. Yes. Ha, ha, ha.
I know you enjoy it. Yes.
He probably went back. You know, we have a little post-show meeting. You know, we went back there. And
I got him.
Everyone's like, oh, that was awesome.
We got him.
It was a little
great
how about them apples
kind of
feel
Bob.
For it.
Yeah, how about them apples?
They'll never be as good as New York.
You know, never, never. And everyone in Boston for, as you said, 250 years, we've only, it's one goal in life.
To be better than New York.
It's to win the approval of New York. How? Okay, I love it. It's like, and New York's never responded. How does one city respond to another city on wanting to be better? Like,
does we're better than
do
you?
Do they
guys.
Put on the front page of the New York Post? You know what, Boston? You're okay.
And then
all of a sudden, oh, I know. Thank God. Oh, jeez. Oh, I can live a happy life now. Oh, and then everyone's in the street yelling,
ha ha ha, yeah. Ha ha ha.
Oh, you know who's very happy right now? That would be the people who did the Oscars.
Ha,
yeah, they're
ha,
laughing all the
ha,
way to the bank because they had their ratings rise for the very first time in years. I thought it was an excellent job. This is a step on making it a better product. Get rid of the host.
Really?
And
so now from now on, no host.
I thought it was great.
See, I thought it flowed. Some of it was boring. I really did.
I mean, okay, you're going to get
award after award after award, and it was boring.
You're going to get awards that nobody cares about. That's just going to happen. But you don't have to extend it with bad musical numbers, and you don't have to have it with that.
You need a host to liven things up when you have best scene direction, and people are giving away Oscars for that. That's where Jimmy Kimmel comes in and makes it palatable.
Well, here's the other thing about this past Oscars and the reason the ratings did well is that it actually had movies that were up for Best Picture that people saw. Like actual hits. Look at the past several years. I mean, The Shape of Water, I think, won last year, and that was a good movie, but I mean, it wasn't like a mega hit. You had Black Panther up for Best Picture, and they did that on purpose. I think that there's a lot of these movies like A Star is Born that were these mega hits that they gave a little bit more credence to, or they gave an award they probably didn't, they weren't worthy of. But they got people tuning in because you had big names and you had big actors that were up for actor and actress, and you had Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper almost having sex on stage. That might have been my favorite side story of the entire thing, was that they're sitting there on stage and they're looking at each other, and everyone's like, oh, they're totally dating. You know that they've hooked up before. And I'm like, number one, they're actors. They do this for a living. Mm-hmm. Number two, have you seen Bradley Cooper's girlfriend? I mean, Lady Gaga's cute. I mean, she's
can't hold a candle.
She's definitely trying. His girlfriend is like
insane.
Insane.
Yep.
Like, she is a supermodel. Like, in every all shape or form, like, she is one of those people that if you were in an elevator with her, it would be hard to breathe. She's so attractive. Lady Gaga is appealing. Like, she is. I'm not going to sit here and be that guy that goes, oh, rah, rah. No, she's good looking. She is not Bradley Cooper's girlfriend.
She's like a Victoria's Secret model, right?
She's like, so yeah, she gets paid. She's one of the highest paid models in the entire world. Yeah. She is an absolute knockout. And I just was like, oh, he's going to leave his girlfriend for Lady Gaga. I have a feeling Lady Gaga is a tough person to date. She just seems extremely wild. Now, fun as hell to hang out with. I'd love for a night to go hang out with Lady Gaga. I got a feeling she's nuts. Kind of crazy. Like, she'd punch you in the face and laugh and then run off and then, you know, be like,
ha, 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 ha.
And it's like, let's go to the next bar. She would be a blast to hang out with. But as far as, like,
that's what would happen?
Me leaving this unbelievable jaw-dropping supermodel, that's unfortunately not going to happen. So, speaking of all that stuff, so Jesse Smollett, who, of course, is the Empire guy who faked getting beat up and everything.
Yeah.
So, Terrence Howard, I guess, is the star of that show, Empire.
Yes.
And according to a report from TMZ, this guy, Jesse Smollett, returned to the set, and apparently Terrence Howard got so pissed that he refused to come out of his trailer for most of the day. And
of course,
he didn't believe, you know, Jesse's account from the get-go. So even, like, after all of this happened where he was beaten up and people actually believed him, Terrence Howard is saying that he never believed him, which you can believe or not. He said they were told that Terrence grilled Jesse periodically and holes began to emerge in his story. So in front of the other people in the set, they're saying that Terrence Howard was saying, all right, take me back through this part of your story. How did this happen and how did this happen? So I guess the people who he worked with before it even came out, the evidence was presented, had serious doubts that everything was on the up and up.
I wouldn't want to work with the guy either. I mean, honest to God, why did he come back to the set? That's what I wanted to know.
Well, I don't know, but I know he's been written out of the final two episodes of the show.
Please, boy, you wrecked the place. Thank you.
Jesus,
God, look at this. It's a mess.
It's like Ronnie Dangerfield. Like, the guy can't sit still. He's just shaking.
He didn't fix it. He just ran. He just we need technical services up here because Zolak's breaking a place he just left.
All right. Well, John Tortorella is one of my favorite people on the planet. He is if you don't know, obviously from the New York Rangers. He was the coach there for a while, and now he's with the Columbus Blue Jackets. And we, of course, all remember a couple of days ago when one of his players was on the trading block. They asked about him when he was sick, and here was his answer.
The fact that Panarin is out this close to the trade deadline, with all the trade rumors swirling, you see that there would be.
He's sick. He's sick as a dog. Yes, he's very sick. That's why he's out.
Did he play sick last night as well?
I didn't ask him last night. Today, I was told he's sick, not eating, he's puking. You want me to go into the whole tire tread as far as what happened today with him so we can get that speculation done with as far as that he's going to be moved? He shit his pants, he was puking, he was doing everything. So, enough.
I mean, he's the best. Tortorella's the best. So yesterday, Tortorella's doing this press conference.
Oh, good.
And if you haven't seen it before, so when reporters go to these things, what they'll do is they'll take their cell phones. A lot of them use their cell phones now as a recording device,
right?
Because the mics and a lot of these things are pretty good. And they'll just rest them on the podium where the person is speaking. You see it happen with Belichick and all these guys all the time. So Tortorella's doing this press conference, and the phone for one of the reporters is sitting in front of him. It's a guy whose last name is Ryan. He writes for The Athletic. And while he's talking, Tortorella's looking down and noticing that this guy's phone keeps ringing, and it says mom on it. So Tortorella decided, I'm going to pick up this phone, this reporter's phone, and answer it mid-press conference.
But says he can go to center or wing. Mrs. Reed? Mrs. Reed? Hi, this is John Tortorella. I'm in the middle of a press conference here, and you're no, that's okay. I'd rather talk to you than your son, so. I'll be done in about 5 minutes. I've seen you call a few times, so it's rude of him not to call you back, but he's busy right now. It's nice talking to you. Okay, have a nice day.
What if she said, I want you to tell my son that dad died?
Oh, man. That's
I mean, when he's in the phone, kept ringing. I know if my mom calls me, and like it's like three or four calls in a row, something bad happened.
Either that or the relationship.
Or like she's like, lying. Tell my son, Mr. Jokey Guy, that I'm lying in pain on the ground because I slipped and fell, and I think I fractured some bones, and I need an ambulance.
How old is this guy?
I don't know.
I mean, it's different if he's 25 or if he's 55. I mean, it was different.
It was like two parts when I saw it. I first started laughing, and I'm like, you know what? Damn it! If my mom kept calling me, there's something really bad that just happened. Because she'll just leave a message if not. But if it keeps going and going and going, like I'm thinking, something bad happened, and that would have pretty much killed. Oh, by the way, your mom, she's been in a horrible car accident. All right, back to the press conference.
Ryan, I'll be done in a minute. Yeah. Call her back.
Yeah, and then, you know. And then Fesco's up in the back laughing. All right, we will get to Scott Zolak and I believe Bertrand. Is the whole show together now?
I don't know.
It's like weird vacation period. Yeah, I don't know who's doing with what, but we will get to them and see what's happening in their show in just a sec. .5 of Sports Hub is Toucher and Rich. All right, real quick. So yesterday, because we were talking about Peter Farrelly, he was the director of that Green Book movie that came out, whatever. But he's one of the Farrelly brothers who made some of the best comedies of all time.
Yes,
I would even argue. And I always had my old thing is that what's better, Dumb and Dumber or Kingpin? And to me, it's always whichever one I saw last. Blah blah blah. So I just tweeted out there a small stupid poll, and I said. Best Farrelly Brothers movie. You could choose Dumb and Dumber, Kingpin, or Something About Mary. And it got a ton of votes. And sometimes the world is just wrong. Because first place, I have no problem with it being in first place, but Dumb and Dumber won. Got no problem with that. But the sheer numbers in this are utterly ridiculous. Dumb and Dumber got 57%. In second place was There's Something About Mary with 24%, and Kingpin with only 19%. Hmm. That is criminally low for Kingpin.
I couldn't stand Kingpin.
What?
I thought it was stupid. I thought it was dumb.
Of course it's stupid. Of course it's dumb. Yeah, it's supposed to be.
It got too hokey, too dumb. The other two were better to sit through.
Bill Murray in Kingpin is iconic. It's an iconic role. With the rose of the commercial he did with the mother.
There's nothing
and
like Warren.
The beginning where he's hustling.
When they go in and he and, what's his name? That little squirrely kid. What's his name?
Which movie?
Something About Mary.
Oh, you're talking about Lee Evans? Quite contrary, Mary.
They go in with Warren and they come out like, they got their superhero.
You know what's funny? There's only like two.
Ben Stiller. Yeah. Little squirrely guy. Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller. Okay. I thought you were talking about the Lee Evans one. I'm like,
no.
You would know. He's the one who at the end was kind of the really creepy guy very excellent query, Mary, who's spoken that weird voice. The fake architect.
Okay.
Not Whoopi. No, not Whoopi Wooderson. But Dumb and Dumber, excellent movie. But for Kingpin to only have 19% and to come in third is an absolute.
I thought Kingpin was one of the worst movies.
Are you out of your mind?
I swear to God.
Yeah. I like something about
Mary. You've been around me talking about movies and stuff. Like, I've ever said, wow, Kingpin. Something About Mary, we talk about, all the time. Dumb and Dumber, great. Dumb and Dumber, drinking.
Woody Harrelson in Kingpin is just unbelievable.
In every one of those movies, there is like a scene or two that just kind of like falls flat.
Yeah, sure. Quaid is like the
and there's more of those
for
me.
Amish guy we abduct and take with us. It was weird.
I think Kingpin is the best of them. I think there are more scenes that fall flat and There's Something About Mary. Not a lot.
Yep, I'm with you. And I don't think there's any in Dumb and Dumber. I think Dumb and Dumber almost has no scenes that fall flat. Like that's a great movie. Mm. Kingpin might have one or two, but you're right. Something About Mary, there's something decent segments Mary. Where just like you're not laughing. Oh, by the way, we just completely missed the Aspen thing.
Yeah. He just blew right through the
Right through Aspen. All right. Here is Hardy.
Pray for Fred.
Yeah, pray for Fred and his voice. So hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. We will see you then. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.